Hello, listeners. Welcome to this week's episode of Infamous Eternal Champions. I'm Jeremy, and I'm here with my most awesome co-hosts, Aaron and Kenny. How are you doing, Kenny?
I am fantastic.
Really?
No. I told you I was going to bring the 87% energy. That's my 87%. We're going down from here. Now we're at 86.
We're not talking percentages, man. We go on the scale of Aaron's. It's like 0 to 10.
0 to 10.
Where are you at?
I'm giving Aaron car battery percentages.
Oh, shit.
87%.
He went there. Oof.
Now we're, right, Aaron, now we're driving to the city.
Where are you at?
Let's go.
Well, I'm at a 9.
You're not going to make it.
And nothing Kenny can says will bring me any lower tonight.
Oof.
Oh, that's a lofty goal.
Well, I'm not even going to go there with any sort of comment on that. What I think everyone wants to hear about is, how's that electric car going?
Oh, electric car's going just fine. Had the 24-volt charger installed, filed off my rebate claim today. Life's great, man.
Hell yeah.
So now you're
nice.
Car charging.
All right, Kenny. Are you
hours?
Buying an electric car soon?
Fuck no.
God damn.
I don't know if you could pay me to get an electric car.
America.
America.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
America.
I had to go to the DMV today for three reasons.
Uh-oh.
I had
to register that piece of shit.
First of all, change my license, driver's license, from previous state to Missouri. Second of all, register the car. And third of all, get an alternative fuel decal, because now I don't pay gas tax anymore.
Wait,
and as I'm there...
What is an alternative fuel decal? Like, you have to pay for
that? Yes. It's the way Missouri gets their money from electric car users.
Like, they don't get enough from the fucking taxes that you, when you purchase the car, you don't pay
tax. Dude, I'm not defending it. I'm just stating a fact.
Oh my God, yeah.
Okay. What percent of the people are being turned away at the DMV for either being idiots or not having the right stuff?
Oh, it's like 30%, 40%.
Yeah, it's probably more like 50-50. But, you know, someone's trying to read the very big letters and just completely failing. And the person's like, do you normally wear glasses or contacts? And they're like, yep. I'm like, did you bring them with you? They're like, nope. Like, well, probably going to need to go get those and then come back. Or not having any of the correct forms.
So I probably spend more time at the DMV than either of you, considering I have to go every year for my CDL.
Mm-hmm.
The times where I'm standing there, it is astronomical how people walk up, and it says everywhere you walk in, you need two pieces of mail for your license. They need to be two bills. You can't bring a credit card statement. You can't bring junk mail. And people are like, what the fuck you mean? It's like, it's crazy.
Exactly.
It's crazy how many people get turned away.
Being the adult that I am, I went on to Missouri Department of Revenue website. And because I want a real ID, right? So not a passport and then the two bills you're talking about. But they can't be in the same category. They have to be different categories, et cetera, et cetera. So I have all of the paperwork. And I show up and the person's like, passport. And I show it. Social security card. Yep. Two bills. Yep. Bill of sale. Manufacturer statement of origin. Insurance on the car. Last year's paid personal property tax receipt. And I just plop it all down in front of them. Like, okay. Go to the next window. You're good. So, yeah, having zero issues at the DMV, it's actually a very pleasant experience if you are halfway competent as a human being.
Not here, it's not.
Mm. I mean, obviously I had to write a big fucking check for my sales tax, but other than that, I had no issues.
You know what's crazy is the DMV, it blows my mind because sometimes when you get caught in a loop of you don't have a piece of information that you need, whether you moved and lost it or whatever. I am certain I could go on the internet and buy a human kidney and get it sent to me before I could get a fucking car registered. Like, if you don't have the right information, it is so stupid.
Here's what I find the most amusing, though, because I ran into this problem when I lived in my apartment. I don't have mail, like, bills sent to me anymore. It's all online. It was all paperless. They wouldn't. So I'm holding my phone and I'm like, look, here's like the American Water, Missouri Water, whatever. And she's like, that's not good enough. I need a paper bill. I'm like, you see right here, it says paperless, and I save 5% for being paperless. And she goes, yeah, but you still need it. I said, so I'm paperless. What do you suggest that I do? And she goes, you need to go print it off. And I said, well, that's the other problem is, you see this right here. It says that I can't. So what do I do? And she's
you can't print your bill. You're an idiot.
No, it's on the thing. I can print so I can print the bill, but basically I'm screen capping the web page because it wasn't a PDF. It was I go to the web page and there it is. I can't get a printable thing and they won't take a screenshot of a web page.
Sure.
So I needed a PDF, but it wasn't in a PDF. So I'm like, so you tell me, because when I lived in the apartment, only thing I paid was water. I paid water, sewer, and that was it. But they wouldn't take,
bank statement? You have a credit card?
They won't take that. Not up here, they don't. It has to be.
In Missouri, they will.
Well, they don't here, trust me.
Hmm. Okay.
They didn't. They wouldn't take a
bank statement. Well, I mean, that's exactly how Snowden ended up living in Russia. So good luck. All right. We have complained about the DMV long enough. Whoever's listening in whatever state you're from, whether you're in Australia or whatever, I would be interested to know how your bullshit systems work over in Australia, because we are caveman when it comes to that. All right. So Aaron said you said we had some news. You want to enlighten us?
Sure. So just some tidbits, and this is really just from stuff Guns posted in the Discords. He confirmed that the patch will be on 1 June, and there's going to be a video walkthrough published prior. What are your two thoughts on that statement?
What do you mean video? Like he's going to, like a vlog? Or?
You know as much as I do.
If there's going to be...
I wonder how often...
Has this ever happened?
Video walkthroughs.
Yeah, has this ever happened before that you know of?
Not that I know of, since the game's gone to, version 2.
Then I would assume this is a big patch then, that it's going to be some, a major shakeup of something, right? If he's going to talk about it?
That was kind of my assumption as well, right? Because if it's just making some stat changes to stuff, then great. But if you need a video to explain stuff, I'm like, wow.
Like, he's breaking a door down or turning over an apple cart. Like, it's... Like some people
or it could just be, hi guys, it's me, Guns. I just wanted to talk to you all on video about the new patch and why we did what we did, right? Maybe it's just kind of a developer's blog, if you will, about why. And nothing actually needs explained, mechanics-wise. It's just an interesting way to interact with the community. I don't know, but I was at the very least intrigued.
I'm intrigued. There's a lot of speculation that could go around, right? It could be... as simple as I want to get my face in front of the community because the game is maybe picking up bigger than we thought it was going to, with our meta, Oklahoma's meta, springing up. Maybe he wants to put his face out there and talk about it, or maybe it's a big deal.
I heard he was going to congratulate you on your big win.
That's highly KC. Doubtful.
He was very excited.
I don't even think
it's going to be like when they receive an Oscar through a Zoom call. It's going to be amazing. I think really it's, I know at least people have said that he used to have their own podcast or something. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very smart move to start getting in front of folks, put videos out, things like that. I hope that's what it's about. I'd hate to see all of a sudden we're getting rid of hexes and oh my God.
Oh, that was, yeah. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Some sort of craziness. No, thank you.
Yeah.
So what I secretly wish is that it's an item card revamp, complete revamp with brand new item cards. And there's a new mechanic for how you choose them. Like something like that would maybe be worthy of a video explanation as opposed to just a textual description.
Yeah, I could see that.
So
that'd be cool.
I have zero expectation that's what it actually is, but something like that I think might be worthy of again a video. Anyway, enough speculation corner.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what that's about. I would love to see them start building a following of their own. I mean, they're such they're already in front of people playing games all the time, which is really different. When it comes to these type of games, and just to put himself more in front of folks would be even that much better. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be great. Whatever.
Yep. I think that was the only specific bit of news, other than Guns has talked about what is and isn't getting nerfed, and I really don't feel like promulgating those these early tidbits. I'd much rather just get the patch notes when the patch notes come out. So I just wanted to recap kind of last week's episode real quick, because it generated a lot of discussion on the Discords, both, well, really in that official judgment one as opposed to ours. I just wanted to make sure that, again, I don't listen to our episodes, so I'm not exactly sure how we started off our discussion of where we thought the game could go. But for the most part, I think we all feel the game is tightly balanced. And so when we're talking about models that quote unquote could use a nerf or use a buff, it's within a construct of an already relatively finely balanced game. So I don't think we were screaming like this model is broken bullshit, and if it's not nerfed, I'm quitting the game, right? Which could absolutely be the case for any number of other games I've been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to hammer down that at least I wasn't trying to insinuate that the game was broken and models were overpowered. But that doesn't mean that you can't continually tweak models to be more balanced. Would you guys agree or disagree with that statement?
Go ahead, Kenny.
I mean, I would agree with that for the most part. I mean, I was mostly... I think the only thing I really talked about when I thought I would like to see a nerf that's probably not going to be nerfed was I thought about Yorgoth, and then I was on the dissenting side of Dhanrogar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was the topic of discussion where people were thinking about the most, but I think for the most part, most of the models are fine. There's, you know, you're always going to have something that's going to be overtuned. It's just, you can't not have it in a game system. But I don't think I really see anything off the top of my head that's just outright like that's just 100% bullshit.
Okay, Jeremy.
So my opinion is, number one, I do listen to most of the episodes, at least parts of them, to make sure that the edit is correct. And as I'm trying to take notes and organize things, a lot of times I don't pay exact attention to maybe the smallest of details. So listening, I do come across like, oh, okay, interesting. I like that. I don't think we had any crazy things we said or whatever, but the fun part of having a podcast is we get to say whatever we want and kick the tires, light the fires. Sometimes I think it's fun for discussion to say things, you know, Donnie's broken, worst ever. We've screamed the sky is falling before and then came back the next day and said, you know what? I don't think it is. I think we're fine.
That's true.
But I mean, we have this platform to do that, and it's a lot of fun. I love the fact that we had a nice discussion on Discord about Donnie and about like Guns talking about his possible tier list and what he thinks is strong. I love it. I love having these conversations. So that's where I'm at with it. If we fuck up from time to time and really have some sort of incendiary, like, this is always bad, this is always good, okay. Next week we'll come back and say, oops, sorry.
No, I'd rather be wrong than boring, which is what you're saying. And I
exactly.
Sure.
Want to make sure it didn't come off as thinking the game was in a bad spot. And we were like complaining
not
about
at all.
The game.
We did not do that.
Okay. I still think Kragnarn is their bullshit, but moving on.
Okay. Way to prove my point wrong, Kenny.
That's right. I'm going to go ahead and put a pin in that right there. Got it.
Okay. Back to our normally scheduled routine. Take it away, Jeremy.
Games we have been playing. So I got to play a few games. What did we do this weekend? I'm kind of out of it at this point. I don't remember.
MCP this weekend.
Yeah, we had the MCP tournament, and then we played some games after the tournament.
Ah, do you remember your games?
I played Josh, you played Nigel, and I think you two played each other.
Oh, yeah, I played Nigel. That's what it was. Nigel was playing, what was he doing? Was he playing Ista? Probably. Everyone is. and it was funny because I just threw together Bruellen and I just put all the beaters in there and I was like, let's go. And that's exactly what it did. It just train wrecked right in the front of his list. And he's pretty new. Just wasn't ready for it. And the game was over fairly quickly. He was tired. He was new. I mean, it was what it was.
Well, yeah, I mean, we did play four games of MCP, and then went right to Game of Judgment. So that's a lot of gaming.
And yet also not enough.
So not enough. Correct. You want to talk about your games, Aaron?
I've only played two games since we recorded last. My league game against Tirith, and then my one game against you. So
gotcha.
Not a whole lot.
Okay. Yeah, this week was a little slow. We had an invitational for MCP, and as most people know, we all play that as well in our local area. So that's what the focus was this week. I plan on getting a bunch more games in the next few days, this weekend at least.
Well, I do have to point out, so Kenny and I are doing a challenge in an MCP league. The equivalent in Judgment would be if you had to play Cradle in each warband and seeing how well you could do. And Kenny and I, in a 60-person league, randomly got paired up against each other.
That was so stupid.
Oh, it was so horrible.
I saw that game. It was pretty
boring. Very low energy. I was like, this is boring as shit.
It looked like a sumo match. Just big dumb models just swinging away. Like
it wasn't even that. That would have been probably entertaining. I'm sorry. I felt bored as fuck. I was like, and then I was like, here, Aaron, here's the win. And you immediately just slap my hand away. Like,
No. I want to beat you by more.
That's fucking. No, you forgot what you did.
I might have.
As soon as you activated, you did it. I was like, motherfucker. And then I was like, why did you do that? I forgot. Like, you're winning anyway, but this would have ended like 15 minutes ago.
Yeah. But anytime I can play 15 more minutes of a game against you, Kenny, is 15 minutes well spent.
Well, yeah, because I was actually making jokes after that. And I'm like, yeah, this is totally over.
Anyway, Kenny and I got a good game in.
I don't know about good. We got a game in.
Fair enough.
No, it was a good game.
You mean Kenny, the Kansas City champion?
Yeah, Kenny did win the MCP Invitational and will not choose between a potential Judgment slot or MCP at Las Vegas.
All I do is win.
Despite your attitude, yes, you do win.
Oh, my God. All I do is win.
Until I play Sentinels online against Aaron at a 60-person event where we get matched up. At least, though, we didn't drive.
First round.
At least we didn't drive 8 hours to play each other like Parker and Ryan. That was...
Dude, that was so stupid.
Yeah, as soon as I heard it, I saw it, I was like, wow, that fucking blows. But
that's on them, though.
Why is that
true
on
enough?
Them? They need to friend each other on Longshanks. It wouldn't happen.
I don't think that matters on that Adepticon. I don't think that mattered.
Unknown.
Okay.
What was, I know the store just got a new model in or two. What's the new models that are on the shelf or will be on the shelf?
Nephany is on the shelf right now.
Gotcha.
And I'm not sure the other one's for public release.
Gotcha. Did you pick up Nephany?
I have not been to the store since the weekend, so I have not yet had the chance
to pick up.
I have not either.
And the card's not even out, right? Like, we don't even know what that thing does.
Correct. Card is not yet out.
I don't know when it will be out. Mercy. I asked, and I don't think anybody answered.
It was supposed to be today. So we'll see if Creature Caster gets it done in time.
Is it interesting. Creature Caster, or is it Hall of Eternal Champions being updated by Guns?
Good question. They should be simultaneous because Creature Caster will have the card you can print and play with. The rules that match the card should go up on Hall at the same time.
When can I get the actual card in drive-through?
Not until the 6-month update, which would happen theoretically in July.
June?
No, July.
What 6-month update? I thought the patch was the update.
So the patch is December 1st and June 1st.
Uh-huh.
The first drive-through cards package was made available in January.
Okay.
And so drive-through cards are supposed to be updated every January and July, which I assume gives them time to get the new patched cards into the system, but they will not be available on drive-through cards immediately when the patch hits. So pen and ink your shit for a month and then get the new stuff.
Not a fan, but but sure.
Maybe it'll happen quicker.
I guess I don't have a choice.
Also correct.
Kenny, did you come up with any thoughts this week about raging? Because if you didn't, we're going to change that. I'm going to change the category. You have calmed down.
I got nothing.
Last week, you got a lot of it out last week.
I get it. See,
with the things that are messed up, things that have touched me, things that have abused you. I understand.
You can't plan this level of rage. This okay. has to be spontaneous. It has to just come from the heart.
It's burst rage.
It's I burst. Gotcha. Yeah. Like, see, I.
It's
you,
burst
you know
rage.
I tend to lash out very quickly, and then I immediately go right back into neutral. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I've got something for you both.
Sweet.
And I don't know the answer, but there is an answer, and we will all go through it together. What is the most damage that can be put out by a single model in a single activation?
The most damage by a single model. And is this including active abilities?
Yeah.
I would assume it would be Brock against a Res 3 Dawnregar.
I think you're wrong. In fact, I guarantee you're wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Who do you think it is?
My first thought was Zhonya.
I was thinking Zhonya.
I haven't gone past that, but she's 33.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The model that I continue to say is...
Say what?
The model that I continue to say is, you know, borderline for me.
Yorgoth? Ooh. No, did you say single target damage or just total damage?
Total damage. Ooh. That's probably Yorgoth then, right?
That fucker.
Ooh, it could be Buckshot.
Oh, yeah.
It's gotta be Kogan.
It's gotta be Kogan.
Yeah, because that's 15 times 3, that's 45. Kogan can put up 45.
Did this come up somewhere? Like, is there an answer to this question that you're gonna just like drop?
No, I just
okay. You just thought of it
instead of Kenny
on the spot.
Instead, yeah, okay. Yeah. Instead of Kenny Corner, I'm gonna come up. We'll have Kenny's question.
It's probably fucking Kogan. You're probably right.
This is for people in their car screaming at us that already know the
or
answer.
Or Yorgoth.
I honestly have no idea.
Yorgoth is 30 max, so it can't be Yorgoth because okay. Zhonya's already ahead of that. Yorgoth could double crit 3 times. I mean, Zhonya is the most reliable. Well, Yorgoth in the right situation is pretty fucking reliable. Zhonya into low edge will crit 3 times and then Fury for 3d6.
I don't know. I mean, if you...
And if someone walked into her, already had a Fury on her.
Ooh,
right?
You're right.
You could momentum.
Add that.
You could do the Brock cleave thing or whatever.
Sure, but Brock is 5 plus 3 is 8. 8 times 3 is 24. Yeah. Brock caps at 24 or 16 plus. Oh, I lied. So Brock could double tap someone else, use the last, not push, but be next to Dawnregar, and then go into Dawnregar. So that's going to be 34.
An additional 11.
Because you do 5 plus 3, 5 plus 3, so 8 and 8 is 16. And then 18 for
does that beat Kogan?
Well, no, Kogan at 45. That's fucking insane.
That's a lot.
That's fucking stupid. And yeah.
I
need to.
I still hate myself.
I need to put Kogan on the table.
Now, yeah, your opponent has to set that up for you. But he said Zhonya just by herself is like the most reliable way to do it. But
well, this has me thinking.
Gotcha.
Did we want to talk about the teams? Event that's coming up, I guess. Do we want to discuss that at all, or are we just going to wait on that?
Let's wait one more
Teams
week.
Event.
Sure. No. Okay. We can table that one.
I don't remember. Tell me what that
the
is.
The next league, instead of being a singles league, is just going to be a teams event league.
Gotcha.
Online.
And it looks like there's going to be a lot of people in it.
Yep.
I think I saw
it. Not Jeremy. Jeremy said, I'm too good for online leagues.
He did say that.
No, I just don't. I don't want people relying
I think
on me. For
Jeremy
shit.
Said, fuck you guys and all those people that play
no.
online. So you heard it here, folks.
Kenny, that is what Kenny, that is what you said. I never said that.
I typed
I
it.
Dislike
I didn't say it. I typed
everyone equally.
So for that damage calculation, I just want everyone listening to know that we didn't take into account artifacts or god affiliation, which obviously can change a lot of the math on that.
Sure. That's true. You could hurt yourself for a few damage as well.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, post up. If we're absolutely wrong and you figured it out, throw it up, man. Put it on the Discords and we'll have a chuckle about it. Yeah. Anything else we want to talk about before we dive into this next character?
Do we have a hobby corner?
Ooh, hobby corner. Because I'm... You know, ever since I've been done for so long...
you just don't care.
I say, don't you fucking do it, man.
Wah, wah.
I'm about to send
Shit,
you guys.
I did an entire affiliate... the entire range, and then some. Tell us what you've been doing, Aaron. Because we know Kenny ain't done shit.
Okay. Well, I'm going to mute myself now.
Okay. So, having to push back my painting schedule a little bit.
I might have just looking at him. I like him.
Jeremy and Kenny. I started on the rest of my monsters. First, the Alan Dorg, and then on the chibi ones. So I have the chibi Canic Mara and the chibi Terra done. And then my goal is to get Fujasha done tonight, but I might wait until tomorrow. Regardless, once the little chibi is done, I will have had all of my non-heroes painted, which is a remarkable total of 23.
How's the spreadsheet? Is it
the spreadsheet's doing fine. I had to reflow based on real life shit. Reflow my judgment and MCP painting. I'm not going to be done until July now. Ugh.
Oh but no!
I reflowed all my MCP to July, so I should still be able to knock out my judgment before the end of June. So that's still the goal.
Okay.
Are we ready to jump into character review?
Yes.
Alrighty. The next character we're doing, following the same line as the other Soul Gazers, we are going to finish up with Saiyan. She's in the in the core box, right?
Yep.
She is.
Core box. Alrighty. Elf Priestess. We're talking about a 3
Let's
move.
Go.
7 Madge. No melee, no range. She's an AG5 because she's an elf with a Soul Harvest 6, which tells me she's a soulist, which is correct, as well as an enhancer. Health is typical elf, 13, 14, 15, and she's an Istantomas. She only has one weapon. It is her magic attack called Wither Soul. Reach of 3. Costs 1, and it's a 2, 3, 4 damage grid. She has 3 common abilities, Dash, Point Blank, and Soul Master. She has 2 unique innate abilities and 3 active abilities. The 2 unique innates, Aura of Light, friendly models within 2 hexes, heal 1, plus 1 for each level Saiyan has gained whenever Saiyan activates. So it's kind of the opposite of Isabelle, where Isabelle gives out the bonus whenever they activate. Saiyan gives a pulse of healing whenever she activates. Then she has Soul Seer. Gains plus 1 damage for each soul bound to the target of Wither Soul. So that could make your 2, 3, 4 go up significantly higher into the right target. For active abilities, she has Augury for 1 action point. Target friendly model within 3 can reroll a single die once during its activation. And that could be any die you think of that model is rolling. Holy Shield, friendly model within 3 hexes, cannot be conditioned. And by that, it's specific to what cannot be applied, but it's burn, curse, freeze, and poison. So it can still be stunned, knocked down, pinned, but all the elemental stuff can't happen to them. And then lastly, the money, Soul Beckon. Cost of fate, not an action. Target enemy within 2 hexes. Saiyan can attempt to remove a bound soul from that model. Roll a normal soul harvest skill check with the usual modifiers and an additional -2. If successful, remove a soul from the target and place it adjacent to that target as close to Saiyan as possible. Then move it D2 hexes towards Saiyan. So similar to Cruel's ability, except this one does not cost an action and requires no damage. It's just a soul harvest check. And the usual modifiers pertain to the person who has the soul. So if they have an ally near them, it'd be a -1. If an ally of Saiyan is next to that person, it'd be a +1 to the roll, etc., etc., assuming that the soul is on that hex. Okay, that handles her level 1 stuff.
I'm 100% sure I have never read this character at all.
Oh, you have. I've used it against
like,
you. You've read
what?
It.
No, I know you've used it. I have not actually read it, though.
Really?
That's awful. Yeah. No. I had no idea. Augury, Holy Shield. I know she had Soul Beckon, but that was...
She does shit.
So, for your first time hearing some of this, Jeremy, what are your impressions?
Holy shit, she can have someone re-roll something? I didn't know she did that. She sounds really great. I kind of want to run her with Cruel now.
Why is that?
Just ripping souls away.
Oh, just ripping souls
just
away?
Just tearing souls. Yeah.
Nope. Soul Beckon is awesome, especially if you got fate to, you know, to re-roll it. You're looking at normally an 8, which is not horrible, especially if you got to re-roll. Point blank is amazing, right? You're like, normally you just tie magic users up. She's just like, I don't care. I'm just going to shoot you. In the rules interaction, I recently learned, pretend Saiyan is surrounded front and back by two adversaries. She shoots the person in front of her with her soul. Does she or does she not suffer -1 for distraction?
She does not.
You said that very convincingly.
Probably not, because it's not melee, right?
You are correct. Distraction only provides negatives to melee. Now, if those two people were next to each other and she went into one of them, there would be a -1 for shooting into... Or sorry, if she had a person next to him, like shooting into melee would apply.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
That's interesting.
No distraction, but yes, shooting into melee, and she does not count herself as a negative modifier.
I've played a lot of Saiyan, so this one okay. I know.
Good. I have probably never put her on the table, so we'll rely on you for some of this.
Sure.
So I will say of her base kit, I think she does a couple interesting things. The first of all is dash. I have seen her best used when there's Vujasha on the table, and the Vujasha, dies. A soul spawns. Depending on the exact map and the layout, she can harvest fucking soul turn one. That's some bullshit.
Oh wow.
She's just like, walk 3, dash to 4. I'm within 2. I harvest. I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool. Now I think that's highly dependent on the map layout, so you can't always count on that. But it is something sure. that you can put in your bag of tricks with Saiyan is a turn one soul harvest. I think she's the only one that can do it without special movement shenanigans. Aura of Light's all awesome, right? Just like all healing abilities in the game. I actually think it's extremely well balanced. You know, it starts off at 1 and then +1 for each. So it could be a pulse of a +3 heal within 2, depending on her level. And I think that's very thematic. As you get stronger, your abilities, you know, are better. The big thing I conceptually, because I haven't played her that much, conceptually don't like is her reach 3 on her weapon. Because, oh my god, is reach 3 so bad?
I concur. Yeah.
Kenny likes it.
you might as well just be in melee. And that's fine if that's your job, but she's adds 5, 13 health. Like, I one activationed her with Thorgar the other day. I think I'd done 1 damage to her. She had 12 left, and he charged, did 6. Hit her again, did the other 6. Just takes her straight off the table. So,
yeah.
Normally, if I want my my squishy people like my Allendeers to be in the back, not range 3, so that's a huge concern for why I haven't specifically put her on the table in any warbands. I also haven't been playing Istin Tomas, so there's that. Kenny, give us some of your thoughts from someone who's actually played the model.
Point blank is great. Dash is great. The reach 3, I have found myself constantly having an issue with where's saying that on the table. Well, I have to move to shoot anything. Everything's outside of reach 3. And when I get up, and you said it already, when I get up into reach 3, I get punched into the dirt. What I was doing with her in that regard was I think I almost always at one point, like, I don't think you guys have ever not seen me do it, I get the agility boots on her, and then I go stand her on a shrine or on impassable terrain so that she can get cover because she is fragile. And she's in reach 3. If you want her to use her her Wither Soul, which can be good with Soul Seer, she needs help. The Aura of Light is great. I've healed a ton of models that way. I walk them up to her where she's at, and then I activate her. She heals. It's just another thing in Ista that is a problem. Holy Shield is fantastic. It is reach 3, or it has been 3 hexes, and making a model immune to burn, curse, freeze, and poison is huge.
So, real quick, it is technically not immunity. because if the model is already burning, this does not remove it.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Just says they cannot be applied.
Can't be applied. Yes.
That makes it less, way less good than actual immunity, but go ahead, continue.
Yeah. But when you're playing against like a Rakir and Kragnar, and you're worried, and he's within range of coming up and trying to stab one of your models. Like, I had a Brock. I threw Holy Shield on Brock and then moved him to the table. It's like, well, your poison's not going to... You're not going to poison bomb me anymore. It can just turn that shit off. Augury, she can use it on herself. So what you can do is Augury yourself and then Soul Beckon so that you roll your two dice. Let's say I rolled a 6 and a 1. I fail. Well, I'm going to re-roll that 1. Or you roll a 4 and a 2, and you re-roll the 2. She can use that on herself for Soul Harvesting. She can use it on herself for Soul Beckon. You can also give it to another model, which we've talked about, to allow them to re-roll another die. So those things work really well in her kit. The only thing that I always complained about was the Reach 3 on the Wither Soul, but I also, in the same breath, say I understand... You can't have reach 4 or reach 5 on fucking everything like this. Now, does that mean that she might need some more health? Maybe she would be an agility 6 model? Like, because there's, what, 1? And it's Sky?
Yeah.
Maybe she should be an agility 6. I don't know if that helps her or not. I know I love it when I have boots on her. But the reach 3, sometimes it's bad. It's really bad.
I mean, I would argue that... If you're a ranged model with reach 3, it needs to be a secondary attack, just like Lugdrug. I have zero issues with Lugdrug being reach 3. With it being her only attack, I mean, someone on Discord, tell me why, but why is that not reach 4?
I think it's because of point blank, but the other problem is, like, Soul Beckon needs to be within 2. What Cruel's is within range 4.
Yeah,
but he has to do damage. So she has to be within range 2. She has to be within range reach 3. To attack you. She has to be within 2 hexes to use Soul Beckon. So she's a model that the kit says she wants to be kind of in it. And her stats kind of say, maybe not. It's like, maybe pump the brakes on that.
I mean, so if you look at this model, it screams pure Soul Harvester to me, right? In terms of the way you should be playing it. However, I see 2 alternative ways you could play this model. One, you could just wait for them to pick up a soul and then wither soul them to death, right? Or heaven forbid, 2 souls. Like, if her damage grid goes up to a 4, 5, 6, that's pretty incredible, right? So give her a ring of power, make her mag 8, and just say go obliterate people. I don't think this is a good way to use her, but I think it would be viable. The other way is just to use her as a soul beckon. Like, it's her entire job. Is instead of killing the enemy person who picks up a soul, she just waits for them to pick the soul up and then beckons it off of them every turn without, you know, worrying about being the person harvesting souls on your team. So
I've seen Soul Beckon fail. The first time I ever used it, though, was like, I think against you, and your Nias had 2 souls on her.
Yeah, I definitely needed to see the card when you pulled that shit out. I was like, what? Hold on, time out.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, like, she has a place for sure. And she is what I think is a high skill cap model. Meaning that, like, when I first played her, I was like, she fucking sucks. Like, every time I put her on the table, I'm like, she sucks. I hate it. I hate her. I wish she were anybody else. And then it took, I don't know how many games where I started to kind of see the matrix a little bit with her. And now I've kind of, when I played a bunch of Ista, I kind of figured out, like, where I wanted her, what kind of her range was, what I needed to do with her. That's when I started giving her agility boots all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She needs a little bit of support, and I think that's also kind of part of her problem, is that she's fate heavy, and she needs help. Like, she needs some support.
So I can't really talk about what I want to talk about next without going into her next abilities. So let's just real quick talk about level 2, 3, and then we'll get some ratings.
Sure.
Her level 2 active ability is Sleep, which we've seen elsewhere. Cost an AP or a fate, which I love. Target enemy here within 4 hexes. Cannot be activated during the next enemy activation. In terms of a reason to level this person up, I would give it give it a 5. I think it is a very good ability, but it really depends on the situation. And I think that's kind of the definition of a 5. Like, it's perfectly average in terms of level up abilities.
I would also put it in that category, but I kind of want to put it higher because you're on your way to level 3.
Sure. Yeah. I agree. You get her level 2, so she gets level 3, but go ahead. Yep. What if this just existed in a vacuum, Kenny? What's your thoughts on sleep as a level up?
I got to read this again. So it can't be activated during its next activation.
Mm-hmm. So let's say she goes and, triple taps it with Wither Soul, leaves it on 3 health, and then she's like, spend a fate, put you to sleep. Yeah. Now, unless you have something like Styx who can, nullify the sleep, actually, that still wouldn't work.
It still wouldn't work. The only thing is you're
you can't just activate the model and recall it, right?
Or activate the model and heal it, unless you've got healing somewhere else. Yeah. The amount of times I've used sleep, I want to say is 0, and that's probably more about me, and I need to probably look at it more. I'm going to say 4.
Okay.
And that's probably because I've seen it used against me, and even when it was used against me, I was like, whatever. It was not relevant or game breaking, but I'm sure.
I think it can be. I think it can absolutely.
Probably.
So, as a side tangent, I really think games in Judgment can be won or lost based off of if you're ever able to trade without giving a soul. I guess that's not trading. It's if you can steal a soul without giving one up. Sleep is one way to make that happen, right? Especially, we haven't really talked about it yet, but Arya, pulls someone in and puts them to sleep. And she's like, okay, you can't let that person escape, which is why I think sleep's much better on Arya than Saiyan. But, just as an ability, the ability to be like, bam, can't fix the position I just put you in, can be game-breaking, because if you just give up the soul and don't get one back, like, that could just be the entire game. So I rate abilities that have the capability of changing the game so dramatically pretty high, even though I think that the cases are going to be relatively narrow, but could expand with more play and experience. Okay, we'll move on to level 3. Soul Bank. For 1 action point and a fate, we are spending resources. Perform a Soul Bank for 0 AP from anywhere on the board, as if Saiyan were adjacent to your effigy. So what did I just say? Stealing souls, not giving one back?
Mm-hmm.
So if Saiyan's able to soul beckon, which doesn't cost an action, she can then harvest that soul that she beckoned away for 2 AP. And with that 3rd AP and fate, she just immediately banks it. So, can't ever get it back off of Saiyan. Nanny boo boo. What do you think about that?
That's crazy.
I think that
is crazy.
Has never happened for me because I always have to walk to get into position to soul beckon. But yeah. I get you. I follow.
Oh, I have definitely had happen to me. I think Saiyan's one of those models that is middling until she's fucking amazing. And then you're like, what?
Because I want to say that. I want to say I did that to you too in that same Naya game.
Yeah. Like, give me that card. I need to see that card again.
I think twice.
Like, yeah, okay. The card I guess that model can do that.
Yeah. It's very good. It costs an AP and a fate. That can get expensive, but I think in that situation that when we were playing, I had already soul harvested a soul. I had a soul on me. I ripped a soul off of Nias and then picked it up and then banked. And I was like, yeah, I felt really smart.
Yeah.
I felt really smart. Oh, it is good though. You've done that to me as well. Let me read that.
Yep. Yeah, and I felt good both times. I've done it to other people. Felt good every time it's happened. But it doesn't happen every game, but nor should it. It shouldn't happen every game.
So here are my initial thoughts on that is that, just like you said, you have to be in the perfect scenario to where she's able to soul beckon from exactly where she's at within 2 hexes, harvest a soul, and then bank the soul, which is going to be two rolls plus AP and fate. And your opponent kind of has to let you do it. So what I want to say is that, Jeremy and I got by you because we had no clue what was going on. And we're just like, what? Now that I know that Saiyan can do that, and I've seen it a couple times, I think I would play a little cagier with the people that have souls around Saiyan, especially as she gets to the level. Well, regardless of that, just knowing she has soul beckon, right? Like, I need to make sure that I'm killing you if you're able to strip that soul off. So
neither of you have let me do it to you since. Yes, that's right.
So despite the fact that these are baller abilities. You said it has a high skill cap, but I question as to how good she can be into a qualified opponent.
I think what I've kind of discovered with her is that you're not taking her for Soul Beckon and Soul Bank. You are taking her for Augury, Holy Shield, and the healing, basically. The longer I was playing with her and the more people understood what she did, the less those things were relevant. Like, I would get within two of you to Soul Beckon, but then I would try to Soul Beckon off of Nias, and Lugdruk is standing next to her. Like, well, okay, I'm at a negative one, so now I need a nine. Well, now I'm using AP to try to rip that off at, like, what about a 20% chance? And I'm spending a fate to do it, and then I got to spend a fate to reroll because I'm probably going to fail that. It starts being diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. When I would rather just, like, okay, well, I'm going to walk up, I'm going to augury my beater, and then I'm going to Holy Shield it, or I'm going to attack your model that has a soul on it with Soul Wither, or Soul Seer with Wither Soul. So I think the skill cap is not getting trapped by, like, well, I'm going to walk up and soul beckon you because it's going to work, right? It doesn't work. Most of the time, it just doesn't work. So I stopped doing it for the most part unless you either A, put a model out of position and I could get another model there, so I need at least a 7, and also in the perfect situation where I put augury on myself. So, I mean, I'll do that where I'll walk up into position, I'll augury myself, and then I wait. You have a soul on you. I'm like, okay, well, my next activation, I can use that. But again, it doesn't happen. It happens 1 in 5 games for me now, maybe. But I've not played her in a while when I stopped playing Ista. So
I think it's important that she has a lot of things she can do. Because how often are you kind of dick in the wind? You can't do a thing about it. You know, you can't do enough damage. You can't do enough of this or that. Right. I mean, she kind of has enough tools, like, she can allow you to do some things that no other model can do, mm-hmm. which is cool. I like that.
Being able to reroll one die on a Soul Harvest check is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's nice. I think it's
rerolling fine. Both sucks sometimes.
It's pretty fucking cool. Like, just being able to walk up.
6-1 like you talked about, then yeah, it's great.
Well, no, if you roll 6-1, you already get it.
When you roll the 3-3, you're like, I guess I'll just spend a fate to reroll both of them.
I mean, you could, but I would rather, if you roll a 3-3 and you need, what, a 7? Is that what the scenario is? Like, yes. I'll take the, I'm going to get the free reroll, not spend the fate for it, because unless I'm fate heavy.
If I'm harvesting a soul, it's worth the fate every time. Well, if I've had a fate to spend, in however long I've been playing this game, I have probably never not spent the fate when trying to harvest a soul.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm a bad player.
I don't know. It's like you're rolling two dice, you get 2 threes, so you've already rolled under the curve. The chances of you rolling another die and it being a 4 up.
Don't even say it.
More than half.
What?
If you're rolling 3 dice and both of those dice, let's just say you're just rolling on a just a variable, you roll 3 dice. 2 of those dice automatically are under half. Your third die statistically should be over half.
Oh my god.
By like 33%.
Kenny, you're right? Fucking killing me. Oh.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my God.
Every time you drop a die in that situation, it's 1 through 6.
Well, yes.
The chance you roll a 4 or better on one die is always exactly 50%.
Yes, it's 50%, but I'm saying that if you roll 3 dice,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the 2 dice you rolled before were. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, do you think all of your dice talk to each other? And then yes. They're like, we're going to be 50% at the end of the day. We're going to give him some low dice early. He's just counting on that 6 later, boys.
I know my dice talk to each other. They say, fuck that guy. He puts us in a box.
God. So
Kenny's
the issue
the best
would be...
Kansas City's got. That's all there is. He's just the best we've got, all right?
When I've told you guys before, we start this fucking thing at 6:30. I am loopy.
It's hallucinating.
My eyelids hurt.
Oh. So the odds of rolling a 7 on 2d6 are 58%.
Okay.
The odds of rolling a 4 up on 1d6 is 50%. Okay. So I would spend a fate for the extra 8% chance to harvest that soul.
Sure.
I understand how it could be argued the 8% is not worth the fate, especially if you only have one left. So. Cool. Let's talk about some rankings for these abilities and then sum up. We already talked about our level ups, going back to unique innates, Aura of Light, the healing. I'm going to give this an 8. I think this is the best healing, the most fair healing ability in the game. It's also good. I mean, it starts out at 1. So if all you're going to do is just like level 1 healing bot the world, it's not going to happen. Like if you want to heal for 1 every turn, like whatever. Heal for 3 every turn, though, if you put some investment into the character, you get some souls, that becomes super annoying. And I love the fact that characters get better on the tabletop in a meaningful way after they've been leveled up. So I give it an 8.
I'll give this one a 6. I think it's better than average. And I think you'll probably be healing for 2 most of the time, being that she'll harvest a soul and probably be happy with that. And yeah, I think it's good.
I'd give it above a 50%.
Are you sure?
A 58%?
We're gonna give. I like 7. 7 sounds good. Pretty good to me. It's a 2 hex heal, 1 for each level. It's above the curve for the most part, but it's not like it's not Lorabella by any means.
Oh God, we do not say that name.
I say it all the time.
Okay, next ability, Soul Seer. I'm going to give this a 5. Actually, I revise downward to a 4. I would need to see this used as a primary ability before giving anything higher. Again, it's a damage ability on a model whose primary function is either to harvest a soul or support your team. Like, unless someone builds Saiyan the Death Enchantress, I don't know exactly how useful this is going to be. Again, I'd love to see it. Maybe I'll do it one of these days, but those are my thoughts.
I give it a 6. I used it a lot. We talked about before, you mentioned it before, trading a soul for a soul. If you get a soul on a model and I take Saiyan into you, I'm doing extra damage. I've used it often. It works really well, especially into other soul gazers because they typically don't have a bucket of health. And it's worked for me. I would rather use this than soul bag.
Well, that's what I was going to say, that it's really counterintuitive with Soul Beckon being right there as well. And they're both fairly close. Like, I don't know why I'd be soul searing when I could just beckon it off, get it. And yeah, it's just, I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay. Active abilities, Augury. I'm going to give this a 4. I view this as something like Savagery, like on Brock. Like, how many times have you seen Savagery cast? Not that often, but when Brock doesn't have anything else he wants to do, yeah, he puts up Savagery, and then next turn he has a really good turn. I don't think actively using Augury the same way you use Bloodlust is worth it. I think Augury is best as a probably in place of an attack that is 2 dice or less. Like, you probably shouldn't be making those unless you have to. Or if you don't have anything else you need to do. Like, you're at where you need to be. You know, you move twice and you augury someone, whether it's yourself or someone else. I think it's a situationally, I don't have anything else to do with this character, spend the AP. And I know I'm going to rip for that take in about 3 seconds.
Get him, Kenny.
1, 2, 3. I think you're wrong. Now, is it, you know, like an 8? No, I would say it's a 6. Being able to just give a model the ability to reroll 1 single die is huge. I think it's even more important than a soul harvester. Going after a soul, like giving it to Isabel, and she goes after a soul, I've done it a lot, and it works. And then it's like, okay, it's insurance, right? I go up there with Isabel, try to grab a soul, I don't need it. Okay, that's fine. It's insurance. But we talk about, I use it for soul harvesting. We talk about that's like one of the most important things in the game is grabbing a soul and not giving it to your opponent. But if I can make it easier to get that soul and I have to spend the fate to do it, I'm going to go with that. I think it's above the curve.
Okay. Jeremy.
I'm going to be kind of right in the middle. I think it's probably useful a lot of times, but I would rather harvest the soul, spend fate to reroll it, and then walk backwards than to kind of pre-waste and AP. That's how I see it, but I could be wrong.
No, I would only do it the turn prior, like double move, cast augury, so I've got it up for the next turn when I'm going to be harvesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll go with 5.
Okay. Holy Shield. I'm going to give it a 3. I do not like this ability. Again, conceptually, I'd never put this model on the table. I would like it a lot more if it was grants immunity. If someone's burning and I could save a fate by casting Holy Shield with Saiyan, that would be good. Like best case scenario for Holy Shield that I can think of is I'm playing into Rakir. I put poison on the model. I put Holy Shield on the model that I think Rakir is going to want to attack. Or playing into Zim, I put, you know, Holy Shield on someone I think Zim's going to freeze. The problem with that is Rakir could be like, okay, I guess I'll go into someone else. So I really don't like me spending actions that may or may not have an impact, and my opponent gets to decide if that's the case or not. It is not useless, but I don't love it. So a 3.
I am at a 5. I think it's an average ability. I think it has the potential of being very good. When I was playing against Richard, I think it was 4 weeks ago, when we played the league, the last, not this league, but the one before that, I kept throwing Holy Shield on, I can't remember the model, but it was up front, and he was shooting it with Alandir and Astariel, and he was never able to light him on fire. It worked out really well. I think as more things come out in the game, like Nephany's coming out where she's got her curse thing, I've heard, or like we've heard rumors, or I've kind of seen rumors that Freeze might be on some more models coming out into the game eventually. Poison's very prevalent. I think as those things become more prevalent, Holy Shield probably just gets, like, it's just going to get better.
Okay. Jeremy?
I'll go with a 4. I think it's good when it's good, but most of the time it probably isn't being used.
Okay, and our last, Soul Beckon. I'm going to give it a 9. I think whether or not you use it, as Kenny's talked about, I think this defines the model. I think if you don't have Soul Beckon on the model at all to influence your opponent's play or use it in combination with her level 3 to just steal shit and bank, I'm not sure this model would ever see play.
Really?
I agree.
I disagree. I think it's a trap. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to move up to Soul Beckon and it fails, and I'm stuck out. Then my Saiyan's now stuck out in the middle of fucking nowhere. Or stuck in a bad position. Or, I just think it's a trap. I'm at like a 4.
Wow. Oof. Okay. So, what are your overall thoughts on the model then, Kenny, as the person who's played her the most?
I think she's great in Ista. Everywhere else, you have better options for Soul Harvesters and in general. In Ista, she adds to the healing. I just think she's probably, when you talk about Soul Gazers or Soulless models, so you have Cruel, Mazuzi, Nias, Saiyan, Zavera, and Zarin. She's probably second to the worst one on the list, right? I would say Zavera is probably the worst one.
I think Zavera is too unique to be graded against others.
Sure, okay.
Like, again, I haven't played Zavera because she scares the shit out of me. You might be right, she might be the worst, but
she is the least taken. Would we agree with that?
I think there are a lot of people who try her and play her in Gruul.
Sure.
Again, I would need to play her in Gruul specifically and kind of get a feel for her, you know, cutting, healing play style, which again is much, it's why you take Zavera, I think, as opposed to the fact that she's just Soul Harvest 6 and God. Anyway, yes, arguably the worst or second to worst Soul Harvester in the game.
Right. But I think that she has a place specifically in Ista.
Okay, so you value Aura of Light as the most important thing on her kit, along with the Soul Harvest 6?
I think it's all-encompassing. I want to say it's the Aura of Light, it's the Agility 5 that can become a 6, but I think Boots of Agility are a must, because with her reach, it's not great. And then I think it's the option of Soul Seer, Holy Shield, and Augury. I think everything else on her card, and Sleep's probably not a trap, but I want to say that Soul Beckon, on Solbeckin specifically is a trap.
Okay. So you view her as a healing support soul gazer that yes. synergizes best in Ista due to the confluence of healing?
Correct.
But would not be beneficial in, say, you know, Bruellen, because healing for two isn't a big deal, if that's all you're healing.
She would be awful in Bruellen. I'd probably point and laugh at you.
Okay.
Oof, hot take.
Jeremy, do you have any summation thoughts on Saiyan before we move on to where you might take her in artifacts?
After all that from Kitty, I'm like still kind of stunned. I will say I've never seen her anywhere else other than in Ista, and it's not very often. So something is there, right? Like people haven't either figured her out or they've moved on to something better. I don't know. I do think Solbeckin is ridiculously good. Being able to strip a soul off at any time is amazing. Even if you don't pick it up yourself, just stripping it off can cause tons of havoc. Yeah. And it's just a fate. It doesn't cause, like, it's crazy. There's only a couple models that can even do that. So I think it's really cool, but I've never played with her. So, you know, it's just at a distance. I think she's cool.
Cool. Okay. I think we kind of handled up where she might be best. Kenny, you said Boots of Agility. Is that something you landed on after multiple different artifact trials, or did you just run with that first and fall in love with it?
That was kind of what I just ran into at the beginning, and I toyed around with a few other things like defensive items, like Gift of the Gods, stuff like that, but I found Boots of Agility to be the most important thing on her, because you just don't want her getting hit. And I was using her more as a, yeah, she was around a soul pit, but I wanted her to be closer, but also around like cover, which is why I think if Sharn stays the way Sharn is in Tomas, Saiyan may be viable in Tomas because of the cover. I think that's huge for her. Because if you have Boots of Agility, so it makes her agility 6, and she's standing at cover, people don't want to attack her at all. So if you get a soul on her, then they are kind of forced to attack her, and she's very survivable at that point. The problem is, I mean, like with the rest of the elves, she has low HP, and her kit says, I want to be in the middle of the action. So you have to, if you're going to play her, I think you have to take Boots of Agility. I think it's a mistake if you don't. And again, I could be wrong, but every time I played her without Boots of Agility, like, she got worked. She just dies.
Fair enough. I mean, obviously, same caveat goes. You can play any artifact with anyone.
Sure.
But specifically with her, Ring of Power, if you want to go the offensive Death Enchantress, I want to try it one of these days.
Yeah.
It does seem cool, right?
I
just guarding soul pits.
I'm just hunting. Zapping them. I'm just, you want to pick up a soul? I dare you.
Yeah. I could see that. I don't think I ever really put that on her, because that's a heavy fate investment, but I could see it.
I'm going to rant on an artifact here in a second, unless I can find an answer to my question before I rant.
Uh-oh.
Maybe we need to call it Aaron's Corner.
You stirring up trouble?
I am not.
Are we going to start calling it Aaron's Corner?
Maybe.
You're much better at ranting than I am. I think she'd be really cool if she was Magic 8 with Reach 3.
I think she'd be great if she was wearing a tuxedo t-shirt.
Well, I mean, you could
put that on. I'm not sure why she's... I mean, why not, right? Like... She's fucking reached 3. You might as well be like.
Well, Nias she's got a Nias is reach 1 with a melee weapon, so I get that you want to have variable reaches. Or make her reach 2 since she wants to be within 2 anyway for Solbeckin. Make her reach 2 magic 8. I wouldn't hate that. I'd be alright. I don't think Aaron has found his artifact.
Okay, yeah. That was asked by Robbie, but never answered that I can find. Elixir of Life. I'm done taking this fucking artifact. Mm-hmm. I fucking hate it.
Why?
The elixir of life? Why?
For two reasons. One, either you're burning, you just can't do it. So my question here is, that this is what wasn't answered, was, so I'll read Elixir of Life. If the bearer is reduced to zero health, it heals one health. The bearer may be placed adjacent to a friendly hero within five hexes. Remove Elixir of Life from the game. So if I'm burning, first of all, Elixir of Life does nothing. Second of all, is it removed from the game because it tried to heal me for one but failed? I think the answer is yes, based off of rules as written. If you read the card, if it's reduced, it heals one. Okay, a trigger happened. Mm-hmm. It tried to heal me, failed because of burning. Next sentence, remove Elixir of Life from the game.
Yeah,
so it doesn't say if you successfully healed one, remove Elixir of Life. The second reason it's dog shit is there are a number of abilities that have damage on Jays.
Yep.
This came up into Nick and Mai's game. We missed it. We both missed it. It was a mammoth game, a little over 2 hours, and I think I was up 4-2 on the souls, and I put Elixir on Kogan. He goes and kills me with Isabel, someone that had a combat maneuver that we both just missed. So I played Elixir, got moved next to Donnie, continued the game. A commentator at the end of the game was like, "Hey, shouldn't it have been played this way?" And we're like, "Ah, yes, absolutely. We misplayed it." And Nick was like, "We're not going to go back and, you know, restart the game." Even though it was only like two activations later. He's just like, "Nope, we're done. You won. Good job." So for two reasons, I think Elixir is just fucking horrible. One, it either doesn't work or it does work and you die anyway. It is too much of an investment in fate and an item that really it's the opportunity cost of a different item that could be in its spot. I don't know how many times Elixir has just been a complete waste of an item, but over 50%. To use Kenny's words. So I think it is probably the only artifact that is a detriment to spend your fate on. I'm just full of bad takes today, Kenny. What can I say?
So does it say, does that one say, I'm lazy and I haven't looked it up. It doesn't say may. It says that this happens.
Correct. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. So that would be a fix. You may heal one. Okay. That'd be awesome. But then it would need the trigger, you know, if you heal one, removed from the game. It doesn't say any of that right now.
We ran into the situation of, can I place next to somebody, then I die if I'm on fire?
You may place next to someone and then die.
I mean, I don't know what situation that would benefit you, but...
If you're cruel,
maybe it's a
and
demon.
You would like to transfer your soul to someone?
Mm.
Yeah, there's a couple things.
Okay. If you would like to go... Yeah, there are multiple niche scenarios where it would be relevant, but
or you get close enough to, I guess that doesn't matter.
Or if you're a demon, all of them say drop heal. A coalesce token, and then you activate the demon spot stuff. On that. Yeah, yeah. I'm not gonna say it's garbage. I've used it here and there. Sure, because sometimes you're burning and it then the breaks. That's like with a lot of other stuff in the game. And I get that that's an artifact that you spend a fate for, but I'm not there. I'm not on that level.
Okay. Anyway, as we were talking
all
about
all right, so artifacts. Hotness scale.
Oh, Saiyan's hotness scale is
a two. Model?
Yeah.
A one.
One. Okay.
It's got no fucking nose.
It's like a two.
I mean, it's not Nurgle bad, but...
I see.
It's bad, though.
Okay. It's got no fucking nose.
That's...
She doesn't need a nose.
It's also production, not design, right? I'm not going to knock them so much on the production of the model.
Everything else about the model looks fine. The face is busted.
It's all bland. It's all whatever. I think the stuff coming out of the skeleton as it's being raised can kind of be painted up to be kind of nice. But
I think it's definitely okay. On the
below 50% level of models that have been produced.
This is going to be a running joke now. 50%.
Depends how many bad takes you make.
Yes,
I can make.
Okay, I'm making bad takes today. You're just making bad math.
Yeah, I was never good at math. Okay. So,
so the hotness scale, you guys, she's terrible. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I'm like, what the
We're
fuck?
Breaking German.
I had my dementia again. I had my dementia. So people, like, let me get this straight. folks who did the Kickstarter and want these plastic models are wanting this quality of model. Like, all of the starter box models are quite inferior in detail and, like, just being amazing models than any of the new stuff, right? That's what everybody wants, is more of the plasticky things.
They want less expensive models or models they don't have to put together. People have different reasons.
Okay.
Or I'll take PVC because I want durability.
Oh my God, you ogre.
Yes, exactly. Swear to God. Is it? So anybody out there that wants to sell me their PVC shit, let me know. I'll buy it because I want durability.
Has there been a model you've not broken? Like, it's getting to that point now.
Yeah, the PVC models in the fucking core box are all fine. they're all good.
Oh my God.
I've not broken any of those models. You know, I really do try to be careful.
So, no, you don't.
I do.
There is no fucking way. There's no fucking way.
All right. Have you seen me just be
between
rough
you
with models?
And Perrin? Between you and Perrin, you have broke 1,000 times more models than I've broken my whole life in like the last year.
All right.
I feel like you both like headbutt them when you get them. Like, just
you see this,
headbutt.
I'm sad. I'm sad right now. I'm getting
whatever.
Berated.
Happiness level down to 85%?
Oh, this energy 85%? Level, bro. I'm down to like 44. You gotta think. Dropping. This is now like, I'm up. I've been up for like 16 and a half hours at this point.
Oh,
you're doing real good.
River. I'm waking up at 5:30 tomorrow to get in my European League game.
No.
Yeah, I know.
You've got to get up early and then go back to bed.
I can never go back to bed.
Okay, so did you play any games that would warrant Champions and Peasants? I can tell you I did not. Like, I don't have anything that is even interesting.
I mean, my game against Josh was kind of a like run-of-the-mill game until I noticed that he was on... I thought he was on 3 souls, but he was on 4. And my Dawnregar saved me from getting my effigy charged. Because I walked into his Thrommel and Stonegrasped him, and he couldn't charge.
Oh.
Yeah, and it won me the game. And he goes, well, he made a comment or whatever, and I was like, what, you thought I was going to let you win? No. That doesn't happen here. If you beat me, you earned it. If you beat me, you earned it. But no, I was kind of like moving stuff. We were kind of... Just standard run-of-the-mill game until I was like, okay, now you're on. I thought he was on 3 souls. I'm like, now you're on 3 souls. Now Dawnregar is coming in. Because I was not stone grasping before. I'm like, now I'm stone form, stone grasp. Everybody come here. I push it into him. I'm like, yeah, get over here. Get over here and hang out. And Maltique, champion, won me the game.
Oh my God. You can't have all champions, goddammit.
Hey, Maltique, until I say otherwise. This is the best model in the game.
Oh my God, Aaron's just made me so mad. Oh,
Maltique is... I am falling in love with Maltique.
Take 14. What? Okay. What?
Yep. Otherwise known as Suck It.
Yeah.
She good.
Yeah. My jaw hit the floor on that one.
Yeah. You guys are welcome. I'm a trendsetter. Now we're becoming the multi.
Did you have any?
In my game against Nick, we're going to give the peasant to Dawnregar because he fucking died like a chump.
Yeah.
And the hero is going to go to Victor because turn 2 of the game, Victor, he's got his Thorgar just like ready to go. And I'm like, bort through a soul, spawn an Algorath, Algorath taunts, Victor runs away. And he was just like, huh. I was like, yep, it sucks. And apparently I'm just perpetuating the suck by playing this model. But he could have banned him, and he didn't. So instead, he got an Algorath to his Thorgar. And then...
I think that...
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
So later in the game, Victor lays on 2. I saved my EP turn until super late, but I was able to use it to reposition everyone. Victor pops over to the other side. Spawns a Dorg. Dorg double taps his enraged Thorgar, doing a shit ton of damage, and that ended up winning me the game. So good job, Victor. And Donnie did his job, but he still gets a peasant for actually dying.
I think Victor should get some sort of ribbon just for being allowed to be on the board. Do you know how rare that is?
Josh did not ban him because he wanted to see him on the table. And I said, okay. And I did the
I've heard that before.
Yep. I said, here's why. I said, and I looked at him and I said, are you ready? Here's why he's broken. And I soul stepped to the soul on his side of the table. I summoned a Dork. Dork charges effigy. Thank you.
Oof.
I don't think that's why he's broken. I think there are multiple ways you can kill an effigy, like last hit health. It's the turn. Yes. It's the turn one, or not turn one, but the turn two, taunt your, like, the model that you just put both your magic items on, and is going to get all your work done for you, and be like, you're never going to have an effective turn this game.
Yes, that is also why he's broken. But it's the fact that he could do both of those things.
Sure.
Like that, he's too much. being able to do both of those things is a fucking problem.
Well, between you and I hope it's the Algorath that gets changed versus the Dork, but we'll see.
I don't disagree with you, but we'll see.
Well, on that note, Victor, doing fine. Perfectly fair. Perfectly balanced.
Hey, when he gets nerfed, Tomas is going to take another hit, so...
Oh my god.
I don't know how Kragnar will survive.
Just leave it alone.
Oh, Kragnar survives.
Leave it alone.
Because it's just amazing.
Oh my god. Do you guys have anything else to add?
I want to tell you thank you, Jeremy, for leading this podcast. I just show up and spout shit. Keep us on
fucking...
track. So, bravo, Jeremy.
I don't even know why I'm here.
Kenny blacked out three times.
Every good commentator needs a foil, Kenny.
I guess.
Oh my god.
I just know I appreciate Jeremy, because when Jeremy's not like leading the conversation, we say some dumb shit. We go off on tangents. We start arguing with each other. So,
don't worry, I got you, boo.
okay.
All right, with all of that nonsense in mind, thanks for listening. You all have a wonderful night. This is Jeremy. I'm out.
Yep, have a good one. It's Kenny. And then this is Aaron. I go to the DMV and hang out all day long with my EV card. I got my special sticker.
I can't play because I've got a ceiling problem. And I've got to go.
Bye, guys.